Accession number 23374, Reel 2.
Mr. Harris, Reel 2. You were just telling me about what you'd read about the amount of damage that was done to the HIPAA.
Yes, I just, well, I've read about the damage. It was, they made a hole in the HIPAA and apparently damaged a lot of her water tanks and inside damage.
Were you allowed to see any of the damage yourself?
No. Much chance of that.
How were you treated by the German crew aboard?
We were treated very well indeed. They put us down below in one of the mess decks. Gave us cigarettes and food. And they seemed very friendly, or some of them seemed very friendly. Then the German captain came down and he said, he told us we were all very brave men. And the skipper, he said the captain was very, very brave man.
Very, very what?
Brave man. And we was kept down below, and with the guards on the hatches. And we was kept there for, I don't know, about two days. And the HIPAA went into Norway, into Trondheim, because she was loaded with them. With the Austrian troops and German troops. And after a time, they put the troops ashore. And then the HIPAA got underway again. We were still down below. And the weather was bad, really bad again, folks. Fog and gales. And the HIPAA was doing good speed. And all of a sudden we heard gunfire. Apparently it turned out to be the Redan. The Redan was chasing her. Quite a lot of gunfire going on. But nothing happened. And the HIPAA got away in the fog. And then on the Friday morning, early morning, we docked into Wilhelmshaven, Germany. And we was taken off the HIPAA and taken to the naval barracks in Wilhelmshaven. We was kept there for quite a while there for interrogation.
What happened at your interrogation?
Well, they just asked a simple question because I couldn't tell them anything, really. Try to find out what speed the ship was doing and just how long you've been in the Navy and where from, what other ships you've been on. He wanted to know if I'd ever been on the Cossack, HMS Cossack, which was a destroyer, liberated a lot of merchant seamen off of a German merchant vessel. The Altmark. They seem to be very interested on that. But who is there? Kept there for.
Did you answer the questions?
Oh yeah, because I'd never been on the Cossack. I don't know what they would have done if I'd said yes. Then they took us all around it. Mark says, we had to go all around the town, Wilhelmshaven, for the German people to see.
How did they react?
Oh, they cheering. They were cheering the Germans, like, you know, for a big thing. The German Navy. Anyway, we was there in Wilhelmshaven for quite a while. And then we got transported to a prison camp, a place called Spangenberg.
Spangenberg?
Mm. Where we was put to work up in the forest, actually.
What was that like?
It was hard work, and not much to eat, we stayed there quite a while on that, and then we transferred to Weimar. And put to work again, laboring in the factories and that, on the roads. Of course, you're guarded all the time. And at that time is when the fall of France. The other countries. And the Germans then, they were not very good.
Why not? In what way?
Oh, they used to thump you with a rifle or keep on to you about working faster and doing it. You couldn't. And there wasn't much food at that time. At that time, they was on top of the world. So I think I was there about a 12-month in Weimar. And then transferred to Milak, Bremersford, which was good, a good camp. Run by the Navy, German Navy. The camp was run on the same lines as the ship.
What did that involve?
We didn't go to work there at all. They kept us in the camp. It was disciplined, the same as it would be on your own ship. And then all of a sudden, they decided to transfer us again for working. They took a lot of us out and put us on a train. Oh, we was on there on a train for about nearly 2 weeks. And we finished up in Poland.
Whereabouts?
Poland. I was on the little place called Oderberg on the River Oder in Poland.
How long had you been in Marlag?
I think it must have been about 12 months.
What was the Oderberg camp like?
It was just a little working party. And, it wasn't too bad, really.
What kind of work was that?
We had to unload railway wagons, freight wagons, all that. Or digging roads. Worked in a gravel pit. But all the time you had the German guards at you, you know. They was always there.
Were there any escape attempts?
Not at that place. In the other camps, of course, yeah.
Did you get involved in any?
I didn't know, no. I was in Lambsdorff, Stalag 8B, in Uber Silesia.
How did that compare with Marlag?
Oh, that wasn't much of a place. It was a real big camp, big transfer camp, you know. They had all sorts. On one side, there was all the Russian prisoners. All different nationalities. I think there's quite a few attempted escapes from there.
Which camp were you in longest for?
Well, it must have been Marlag, I suppose.
Were you marched away eventually from Lambsdorff?
No, from Oderberg, from Poland.
Is this when the Russians were advancing?
It's when the Russians was advanced. We won it one early morning. The Germans come rushing in at us, get up, you know, shouting and going everywhere. get whatever you can, your clothes, and you fall in outside. We started off on this march. That was the end. Well, it must have been the beginning of February. And we started off on the march, and on the way we was picking up all different from different camps. And that was really cold, nasty, snow, ice, Polish winter. And we kept, every day we was walking, or Martin, but I finished up with thousands of men, different nationalities, Polish, British, French, Jewish, Russians. And there was quite a lot killed and died on the march. Especially in the Russian side, Jewish side. And as some of them fell down or couldn't move, they just shot them. I see a few of their shot. We was on the march for about right up to right at the beginning of May. 3 months. A lot of them didn't make it. At times it was in between, you see, it was in between the Russians and the Americans.
Where did you end up?
We're in Bavaria. We came out of Poland, apparently, into Germany, when the Russians was pushing. And then they turned us around again when our people was coming from the west. We came back and into Czechoslovakia. We walked right through Czechoslovakia. Into Bavaria.
Were you liberated there?
Yes. One evening there, we all came to a halt. The Germans came to a halt. The next thing we knew, all the Germans had vanished. We were all left on our own. Thousands of soldiers. So everybody dispersed the best they could with me and my mate and two Australians and two New Zealand troops, we went and found a little farm. That's where we stayed, in this farm. Slept in the loft of a barn. And then the next day we went searching for food in the farm and other places. There for a few days, and we heard all the ruckus of the tanks and vehicles up on the road. And we didn't know who it was, whether it was Russians, Americans, or what. So we decided that one of us had to go up to have a look. So we took a draw out of sticks. One of the Australians had to go. He went up, he came running back, because it was the Americans. Anyway, the Americans told us to stay on the farm till we was told them otherwise, and take whatever food we wanted, get out of the barn and go and live in the house. Any Germans there, turf them out.
Where was this place?
I don't know the name actually, but it was in Bavaria. It's not all that far from Munich.
How were the Germans being treated in the area?
Well, the Americans seemed to treat them pretty good. I didn't see anybody being knocked about or anything like that.
Were there any displaced persons in the area?
Well, yeah, I suppose. I mean, nearly everybody was displaced at that time. It was a place that the place was flooded with all ex-POWs there, see. Uh-huh. Off of this march, it was all everywhere.
Were there any displaced civilians from Eastern Europe?
I couldn't say so. Probably was, but I didn't see any.
So you were living in a German's house?
On a farm, yes. We went and stayed in there till the Americans sent round for everybody to get together, right? And then we had to take our turn to get a lift into an aircraft. We was all in a big field there, just waiting. They took your name and all the number and everything. And as your turn came, you got into an American transport plane. They flew us to Reims in France. Reims. And they couldn't do enough for us there. We had everything. Everything, anything you wanted, they had. Tons of cigarettes, plenty of food, white bread, which we thought was cake. Because we'd always had black bread. And we were there a fortnight, and then we was transported to England in a Lancaster bomber. Landed at Ford Aerodrome.
How were you treated in England?
Oh, lovely. Very well. I was only in, they only kept us at that there for 2 days. And then we had money, they gave us money. And torture bits for if you want to buy clothes and all that sort of thing. And got a train from Portsmouth. Down to Weymouth.
What condition were you in by the time you got back to the United Kingdom?
Well, I thought I was all right, say that. But when I returned off of leave, I was taken for medical and that. And I was sent up to Chandomay Castle in Cheshire. And then I came from there down to Barrow Gurney in Bristol. I was in hospital 6 months and invalided out.
What did you have?
It's down as psychoneurosis. That was like this.
Shame.
All over.
What had caused you to shake, do you think?
Well, they said it was the reaction of the things that had happened, you know.
Had you been shaking in Germany?
Nope. I suppose it's where they got that keyed up and then came home here and relaxed. And it came on.
Did they treat you for that, or was it just rest?
More rest, if anything. Did 6 months. Invalided out, had a pension, 12 shillings a week.
Did it take 20%. Long for that shaking to go away?
Well, within that 6 months, it had more or less gone, But I still kept getting it at times. But not so bad as that, just a piece.
So what was the worst part of your experience? Was it being in action, or was it being a POW?
Well, the action part of it, I mean, you more or less look forward to that sort of thing. You knew you was going to get it. I think at times the worst part was some of it as a prisoner of war.
You look forward to going into action?
Not look forward to it, but you knew if it came, you was there for it. That's what you... When we was in action there, all you could hear the lads saying, we'll have a refit after this.
You mean a bit of free time?
Refit. Thought they was going to go back to Portsmouth. Knew he was not been knocked about. Thought he was going to go back to Portsmouth. Leave and a refit, which it didn't happen.
So what was the worst part of the POW experience?
The first 12 months of 18 months was in 1940-41. It's when your life wasn't worth much over there in Germany. Where they'd overrun Europe and that, France. Yeah, they thought they could do anything they liked here. There was hardly any food here at that time. Not till the Red Cross started with Red Cross parcels. And then if he was on a small working party, miles away from places, he often missed out on a Red Cross. If he was in the main camp, it's more or less gone up regularly,
Did the attitude of the German guards change as time went on?
Oh, yeah.
In what way?
Well, they eased up a lot, At that time, I'm talking about 40, 41, there was nothing for them to come along, just for nothing, no reason. Just see England or bang,
Hit you with a rifle butt?
Yeah, just bang it. You tap me on. Especially if it's working. It's always snail.
Getting you to work faster.
Yeah.
Why?
But as the years went on, because it was 5 years I was prisoner, as the years went on, they seemed to ease down a lot, and we was getting the Red Cross parcels through more regular, which made life a lot better. I got more organised, seeing it. When things started to change, like when Rummel came out of Africa and finished there, the Germans, I think they knew things were changing then.